Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Superintendents Unplugged, In Depth with Davis, the podcast where we'll dive deep into the world of educational leadership. I'm your host, Addison Davis, and I'm thrilled to have you join me as we embark on the inspiring journey together. As a superintendent once myself, I understand the challenges and complexities that come with leading a school district. But what I've come to realize is that there's abundance of amazing work being done by superintendents all across our country. This podcast is a platform to shine a spotlight on their incredible accomplishments and innovative approaches. Each episode will bring you exclusive interviews and superintendents from various districts across our country, both big and small, urban and rural, as they share their personal stories, triumphs, and even their moments of vulnerability. We will explore the strategies they employ to tackle the ever-evolving landscape of education, from fostering equity and inclusivity to embracing technology and preparing students for their future. But this podcast isn't just about showcasing success. It's about fostering a community of educational leaders who can learn from one another, share their experiences, and collectively navigate the complexities of our role. We'll discuss the tough topics as well, the difficult decisions, and the innovative solutions that are transforming education for the better. So while you're an educator, a parent, a student, are simply someone who's passionate about education, this podcast is for you. Superintendents Unplugged is your behind-the-scenes pass to the world of educational leadership, where we uncover the stories that inspire, motivate, and empower every one of us. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, and entertained as we embark on this incredible journey together. I can't wait to introduce you to the remarkable superintendents who are changing the educational landscape one district at a time. All right, welcome to another episode of Superintendents Unplugged, In Depth with Davis. Today, we have two of the best educational leaders throughout the nation. Today, we have Susan Edenfield and also Christy Wilson. They are the new authors of On Fire, Under Fire, or Fired. Thank you all so very much for being here. Really appreciate it. You got it. You got it. So tell me, what's going on with this book right here? Tell me, who wants to jump in? It should say, on fire, under fired, or resignation. That's me. I resigned. I was out.
We joke that fired has two meanings. So either someone fired you or some of us fired ourselves and said, peace out. Like, I'm just out of here. So it's about what superintendents did during the pandemic, yeah. Right? Yeah. But the reality is so many of the lessons are applicable today, yeah, because absolutely. We know that many of our colleagues are under fire right now.
Every day.
And so we wanted to tell the story of the amazing people who led their communities through the pandemic. And because we felt that Christy and I both share a deep reverence and love for the superintendency and superintendents. And they're very misunderstood. Awesome. So we wanted to...
That's awesome. Christy, from your side of it, I mean, you've seen it and working in multiple districts, leading great work every single day. You know, how this text really helps superintendents?
Well, I think, like Susan, changing the narrative around what we do as superintendents is really important for not only the folks that are in education, but folks that are not in the education world, so that we're really clear about what it is we do, who we serve, but also changing that narrative around, you know, the superintendency is a wonderful, wonderful job.
It's a gift.
You both probably love being superintendents. Yeah. It's hard work. You know, there are stressful days, but the narrative needs to be that it's a great job. It's a wonderful opportunity to serve students, communities, each other. And as our pipeline is... it's an incredible opportunity to make sure that our pipeline is full.
Sure.
So that's another important takeaway in terms of being clear about what the role is, but also Susan is really, she does a great job talking about humanizing the job of the superintendent and the role.
You know what, you said it well. I mean, there's no other job that's all about human engagement. You know, and we talk about the greatest gifts that we can give. It's a high quality education, but it's also hiring first round draft pick superintendents that had the heart to be in it. And sometimes that just gets hijacked.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate. All three of us, uber successful superintendents, still could go today anywhere throughout the nation and do it exceptional. But, you know, each of you given an opportunity to give back. I mean, in this place, as we, you know, whether it's at ASA, whether it's at ERDI, no matter what, you're both of you are giving back by building capacity of other leaders. And tell me what that's been like.
Well, I think that part of this book was about giving back. We wanted to celebrate the resilience, the brilliance, the humanity of our colleagues who led during the pandemic. And so in that sense, you know, we hope that that's the message that people take away. And we hope that maybe it kickstarts a conversation more broadly in the general public about the critical role superintendents play in their communities and the role that members of the public have in sustaining their superintendent, right?
I think that networks were incredibly important during COVID, right? But they're also crucial right now. And we're seeing that here at ASA, ERDI, IEI, all the alphabet groups. You lean in on your networks to help you learn from and grow with each other. Mentorship and sponsorship, Susan likes to remind us that they're very different, but they're very important. We thrive when we learn from each other and with each other. And chapter two is all about mentorship, formal relationships, informal relationships. And, you know, Dave Schuler talks about that the superintendency is only lonely. The job of the superintendent is only lonely if you want it to be.
That's right. Right? If you allow it to be.
If you allow it to be, it's a choice. And I want to go back to the fact that the narrative around the superintendency, we have to start engaging in a conversation about the role is difficult. Yes. But with support from folks like you and Susan and myself and others, the network of support is incredible. And we can change that narrative to be, you know, encouraging, supportive, and collaborative so that folks understand that it is a wonderful job and that together we can do great things.
Awesome. I mean, I completely agree. I mean, in this book, 40 superintendents.
Current and former.
Active engagement, telling their stories. I mean, first of all, that had been tough to get 40 superintendents in a location and have conversations and get scheduled. But the power of telling their stories should impact and have so much positive movement with current superintendents to help them grow every single day. Can you talk about the engagement and what that means, like, and what that means for aspiring superintendents as a playbook and those who are currently sitting in the seat?
Yeah. So, we really feel strongly that it was a real honor for us, and we're grateful to our colleagues who shared their stories with us. I think we hope that for those who are just entering the superintendency or considering the superintendency, that they will be inspired by some of what they read here, and they'll be reminded that when you become a superintendent, you become part of a true network of amazing human beings, people who have chosen to devote their lives to service and to public education. Sure. And I think that sets superintendents apart from other leaders. I just think they're cut from a different cloth.
I agree.
And, and we say at the end of the book, you know, we do this job for one reason, and it's to serve children. And we show up for each other when we're getting the job. We show up for each other when we're in the job, and we show up for each other when we're getting out of the job. Right. And that's really, really important. And at the very end, we say, we now need our communities to show up for us as well.
Absolutely.
And so it's a call to action that, we need a broader conversation around sustaining leadership in our schools.
Yeah, I was just going to mention too that in each of the chapters, there's takeaways and insights. So, we talk through particular themes that we gathered while we interviewed the 40 superintendents. And by the way, the 40 superintendents are from coast to coast, rural, urban, just a nice broad cross section, so that we have a nice diverse perspective. But takeaway and insights are nice reminders as we learn from what we went through sure. during COVID, but also we can apply those lessons learned so that we don't repeat the lessons, right?
That's right.
And it's so important to Susan's point, if you're an aspiring superintendent or maybe you're a seasoned superintendent, you go back to those lessons and takeaways and you say, okay, I know I have to know my values. I know I have to stick to my values as I make difficult decisions.
Right. Or,
and I can go to the exemplar leadership at the end of every chapter, there's an exemplar leadership that concludes the chapter that I can go to and I can read in their own voices and words to hear, okay, this is an example of what the superintendent went through.
That's awesome. I mean, one thing that both of you, you know, were exemplars of never losing your why. You always fought, they had the war for children and you know, we should sensationalize that across the nation. And I'm sure this text does as well. But when you look at those who are aspiring to be a superintendent or those who are even in the job, what recommendations would we give to them? I mean, now, because the days of what we were trained on, it's no longer existing. I mean, some of those traditional strategies, and we stand on strategies, can help us lead. But what does the new superintendency look like?
So I think preparation and ongoing learning and growth is critical. So making sure that you are grounded in the skills that you're going to need to do the job successfully. So I think preparation is one thing. I think listening to your instincts is another. I don't think we talk about that enough. So don't focus so much on the work that you're not paying attention to your context and that the politics don't come back and bite you because you were so focused on the work. And then the third thing is reach out, that when you are facing a tough challenge or something isn't sitting quite right with you, that you pick up the phone and say, hey, Addison, can I run something by you? And you can say, oh, you're in trouble. Like here's what we're going to do here. Because I think that we tend to be so focused on the work that we try to just brush aside some of those concerns. And so having people that you can reach out to, I think, is critically important.
Check. This is why Susan and I were such good. I call it ham and egg because I'm a golfer. And that's how you play scramble. But, you know, I would say, and so that critical friends, so that's not different because, you know, we all know what a critical friend but your critical friend may not have the strategies that you have to have that are necessary post-COVID, right? So an example, so Jennifer Chatham's work out of Harvard, we are learning about the political framework. I used to think, and we had so many conversations about this, so Susan and I. So I used to think that, okay, I have to be prepared to learn about business because I wasn't necessarily skilled as a CFO, or I have to be better prepared in teaching and learning or whatever. When Susan talks about the preparation programs, it doesn't have to be binary, either or, but you have to have a political framework.
Yeah.
And you have to talk to someone like you or Susan or someone that's whoever that you can say, I don't understand how to lead from a political lens.
Sure.
And then also, I was talking about this the other day with some aspiring ladies that are really not sure they want to enter into the superintendency because of the political world. Just develop those networks and your trust systems.
That's right.
So you can have honest conversations about what the work is like.
Yeah. And it now more than ever, I mean, we all were trained to be instructional leaders, climate culture builders, talent managers, operational experts. But now the political landscape has to be a priority as we navigate through all the new legislation, all the new priorities.
Yep.
We got to be, it's got to be a fifth wheel that we add to it.
So that word that we learned during COVID was nimble. And so, yes, but you have to be able to, I guess, just exercise your flexibility in a different way and your preparation programs, which I don't know that they're necessarily preparing the superintendents with that mindset.
Right.
I mean, Jennifer's political framework is really the only one that I see. So that's a whole nother skill set that
sure.
needs to be involved.
I agree. So you said something that just blew me away. Sometimes we get so focused on projects, on initiatives within our school district that we miss out on some of the noise mm-hmm. that gets us. And,
true.
You know, how do, you know, words for superintendents that are on fire, under fire, or potentially trying to be fired. How do they help them maneuver that to be able to see some of the, what's in their periphery vision of what's going on in a district?
Well, I think us naming that is something that you need to do. Like, you need to make that part of your practice, that you are regularly doing a scan. But the reality is that you can't do it alone.
Right.
So you need to have a good team, and you need to have people on your team who will tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear,
right,
who will push back on you, who will give you the honest feedback, so that you don't find yourself caught off guard by something that was preventable. Now, sometimes, despite your best efforts, things catch you off guard. But I do think, you know, and I learned this, you know, midpoint of my career, that, you know, I just had to pick my head up once in a while and just look around and like get the lay of the land and see what was going on. And I want to say too, Addison, I think this is particularly true for female superintendents. Not to make broad generalizations, but I think women,
I agree.
We're focused on the work, but more than that, we're caretakers.
That's right.
So we're going to take care of everybody else at our own expense.
Why you have to have a critical friend who you can say, am I paying it? First of all, you have to know the questions to ask.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be able to call Susan or Susan call Christy and say, you know, this is what I'm doing right now.
Sure.
And Susan say, have you thought about, are you paying attention to?
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have that network or that critical friend
sure.
that can ask you,
yeah,
I mean,
you can miss it.
I learned it the hard way. I mean, I had...
We all have to some degree.
Right? Yeah, it's just like, yeah. Board was, you know, one day they brought me in and said, AD, I said, yes, you know, board chair said, yes, ma'am. She goes, you're in schools too much. And I'm like, man, well, I think that's a compliment. She goes, no, you need to pay attention to what's going on in this community. You know, you're having to cut $150 million. You're cutting 1,500 people. You got to put your ear to the ground. Stop focusing so much on moving the needle. And for me, I mean, at one point in time, I was in the fetal position the first 5 months, because cutting $150 million a lot, and you're in, and it doesn't show exhibit that value versus saving a district. And I had to step up and say, you know what? Fine, I've got to empower my staff so I can pay attention.
Right. Well, and
I had to, you know, I had to adapt to be a different leader than I've always have been.
And you had to hear the hard stuff. I remember my first year in Highline, my first evaluation, and one of the board members said to me, Susan, we love everything you're doing, but frankly, it's kind of hard to keep up with it all because you go so fast and there's so much. And alarm bells went off in my head because I had a wonderfully supportive board.
Yeah.
But if you weren't bringing your board along with you,
right,
you're going to be in trouble. And so that was a note. Okay, I've got to find a way to engage with them and make sure that they feel confident about
that's
the work
right.
that we're doing.
And I also think that as superintendent type A, we're by nature doers.
Doers, ventures.
Do the work. And to your point about empowering, mm-hmm. we think we're helping our teams, but early on in our careers, first year, second year, it's hard to understand how to empower when we're still doing.
Right.
So,
trying to
yeah.
figure out how to do it, right?
Yeah.
You're building the airplane while it's in the air and trying to roll through it. But, you know, it's this job isn't easy at all. And anybody that gives their heart, their time, their efforts to this, you know, my hat's off to them. And for those who aspire to be superintendents, this is the perfect opportunity. The perfect opportunity to understand the dynamics behind being a superintendent, going through and reviewing some situational leadership opportunities so we don't follow the same paths. And
yeah, and I think too, you know, it was about memorializing what happened in a comprehensive way.
Right.
Because Susan and I, when we talked about the opportunity to write the book, there really hadn't been anyone who historically took all of what had been sort of written maybe in an article or a column or a this or a that about COVID and put it all together in one place
right.
about the superintendent
yeah.
experience. So as much as we wanted to historically look at this is what happened, we also wanted to categorically put in place from a teaching and learning perspective, from a financial perspective, from a just all sort of
sure.
chaptered out perspective in one place.
Yeah.
But also, because I got asked this, Susan and I did at ERDI, okay, but so what? This was 5 years ago. Now what? And I will never forget being on a call with Final Sight, the fires in California, the superintendent had said, this couldn't come at a better time because I can go to it and say, you know what? I'm so proud of my school district and the schools from the lessons they learned about pivoting to remote instruction, standing up any type of instruction we needed to stand up during COVID. We had to unfortunately do that during the time of the catastrophic fires, but you know, and it was really heartfelt what he said. Thank goodness we had some of the takeaways in the book. So it is relevant now as we move forward so we don't repeat the lessons that we learned.
Always another crisis.
That's right.
Fortunately.
That's right.
And Vermont, I've always been taught, you know, maximize every crisis as you can, right? And an opportunity to lead. Well, the big question I have, when's number two coming out? When's number two coming out?
Let's all just take a breath, okay? Let's all just take a breath because we set like the land speed record for writing this book. Our editor actually apologized to us yesterday. She was here and she said, I know I made you guys stick. It was like a 3.5 month deadline to write the book. So I think we're going to take a little break.
My gosh, that would have itself would take forever.
To write the next one.
Right. Oh my gosh.
Just the fact that we did the interviews, got them all recorded,
that,
done.
That in is like amazing.
You know, I mean, I say it, and we can say it as superintendents, right. Trying to nail down superintendents through conversational pieces or getting
it. And I will say, too, I think that's a testament to the power of the relationship.
That's right.
And so
I mean, the desire to have the
I agree with that.
Like, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, that's hats off. I mean, that's a big task in a short period of time.
Right. Thank you.
Well,
thank you so much.
You know what? Thank you for joining me today. You are really special leaders. I really care about you. I continue to lean on, watch you do cool things around the country. And for those who are watching, you've heard it for some of the best. Chrissy and Susan have continued to be champions for children, continue to drive the work, and now going beyond to be able to create spaces for leaders to listen, to learn, to grow through real practical experiences that superintendents have lived throughout this nation. Whether it's in the pandemic or not, they've helped us revolutionize who we are and what we do every single day. I hope you will go and purchase On Fire, Under Fire, or Fired. Until next time, I'm Addison Davis, your host. I look forward to seeing you in classrooms. Thanks.